Beware, you Corinthians. I give you a lesson from history. Thus Paul introduces this section of his letter to the Corinthians. We're continuing in a series of this letter that Paul wrote and his concern for the developing church. And you can catch up with previous sermons on the same subject on our website. So be warned, you Corinthians, and I'm talking about you Corinthians in Broadwell as well. Corinth, not an easy city to live in for a newly committed Christian. Corinth, known as the city of culture and of courtesans. The ancient city before it had been a byword for licentiousness, and the new Roman colony built up had developed its own even further bad reputation. To Corinthianize was, in a polite Greek term, to go to the devil. And yet Paul had chosen this city as a very tactical place to further the spread of the gospel throughout that region. Trade flowed through Corinth. It was the capital of the region of Achaia. It held the annual games. It was prosperous. It was morally corrupt. It had the means to indulge every desire, every pleasure. Some commentators suggest that it was this moral laxity that had induced Paul to preach the gospel to it. But maybe it was also a floating population that would encourage a wider spread of any preaching, anything new could be spread throughout the region. And with its reputation, though, for immorality, it's understandable that Paul saw the threat to the spiritual life of this young church. Or as James Moffat has put it, the church was in the world as it should be, but the world was in the church as it ought not to be. Thus Paul's warning to them all from Old Testament history. Many of his readers were from a pagan background and they were unfamiliar with the scriptures, and so he expands the examples he gave. Those early people of God, the Israelites, wandering through the wilderness, had enjoyed great blessing and privilege, and yet many perished and died in the wilderness, and only two reached that promised land. Paul compares their experience under Moses' guidance to a divine guidance in the cloud. Also, to him, it was a form of sacrament. Paul saw the baptism from crossing of the Red Sea. He saw the provision of manna and water from the rock as a Christ-like imagery of communion, of bread and of wine. And yet they perished. Verse 5 of the Corinthian reading says God was not pleased with them, and many failed to enter that promised land. They had rebelled. They preferred the idle practices of the nations surrounding them. They had the world, allowed the world to enter their world. The warning of idolatry is very much to the point in view of the trouble that Paul had to deal with. Sexual immorality was very much part of Corinthian pagan ritual, as it had been from the ancient times also, in the tribes surrounding the ancient Israel. Judgment had come in many forms to those Israelites. They had tested God with his promise of blessing, and they did not think that he would not promise them again. And yet verse 9 of the Corinthian reading warns, "Do not test God." That is, do not see how far you can take him. We're safe. Whatever. We've got the promises, people say. Even with God's miraculous generosity, the ancient Israelites murmured. They muttered. They complained. And it brought punishment. They had not relied on him that gave them the bread to live, grumbling was obviously still a national characteristic, as we can read from our second reading. In John, the first words are, "Do not grumble, stop grumbling among yourselves," said Jesus. The Israelites were still grumbling. Again, they had ignored the one who could give them the bread of life. By grumbling, by complaining, we reduce our faith and our reliance on God and on Christ the Saviour. Were the Corinthian church members being tempted back to their old ways? Was this new Christian faith too abstract for them? No idols to worship? There was less fun in the fun city of Corinth. Holiness and piety is so very, very hard to attain and maintain, especially after those great parties in the Temple of Venus. But that was then that Paul reminds them. As they struggle against the temptations, as they struggle to join back in the pagan life of Corinth, Paul says in verse 11, "These things happened as examples, as were written down, and warnings for us." Christ had brought all those previous ages to an end. We were in a new age. It appears from verse 12 that some of the members of the Corinthian church were letting too much of the Corinthian world back into their lives. They had strong self-assurance in their own position in the church. They were self-confident, but spiritually negligent. "So you think you are standing firm, do you? Be careful lest you fall." Let the self-confident take heed against that fall. Beware complacency. And for us too, beware complacency in our own spiritual journey. Are we standing firm? Do we think we're standing firm? Do we think we have a lot of self-confidence? We must be careful lest we fall. Don't be like the young man who could claim, "Yes, Lord, I can do all that is required of me in the law," but yet was told by Jesus that he still lacked. It's not ticking the right boxes that Jesus seeks in us, but to see him as the bread of life and to feed on him. From verse 13 in the Corinthian letter, we see that the young church was being sorely tempted. In such a carnal city of delights as Corinth, it's only too easy. Many must have struggled, tempted back to the old ways, tempted back to the excitement of the temple rituals. The church felt it was being tested internally too, as we heard earlier in our series of the schisms already developing of the Apollo church and the Peter church, divisions that would weaken the church's stand in a pagan world. But Paul reassures, their experiences are common to all, nothing exceptional, except that they can be given a way of escape. God will not let them be overcome by temptation. We're not always mentally or even physically prepared to overcome, are we? Our willpower seems to have its limits, but God's does not. He will provide an escape plan. The word used, this escape plan word used, is a word for a passage through a mountain. It was a word used for the army when they had to retreat to safety. This word escape is an army escaping to safety through a valley. When I was doing my mountain leadership, we did route planning, and part of the route planning was an escape plan. So if you were stuck up some awful mountain in the fog, and things went bad, you had to already have had an escape plan to get back out of trouble. It may have had to be just to keep going, or it may have been retreat, or it may have been a side path that you could go down. Do not follow a river, because they go over waterfalls. Or maybe you've been going to London like I have recently. Have you had your plan B? when the line closes. Have you had that plan B so that you can go to London by a different route? I actually got up to plan G. The assurance of verse 50 of verse 13 is a permanent comfort and a source of life and strength to believers. Our trust is in the faithfulness of God. In our complex society, our own equivalent of the world of Corinth, more and more it creeps into the church. We live as citizens of this world, and yet our true citizenship is in heaven, as Paul reminds the Philippian church. Paul tells the Corinthian believers to be active, to flee from the temptations around them. Do not be complacent. We as citizens of this world are bombarded by the world, and we can and we do let the media into our homes. We have the TV, the press, Facebook, emails, phones, iPhones. Most are benign and informative, entertaining and educational. If we are to pray for the world's needs, we cannot cut ourselves off from it, can we? But we've also been given wisdom, discernment. Back to Philippians again. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so we must support fellow Christians who are in the public, in the media, in the public position, to uphold these principles in an increasingly virulently critical environment. Not just strikes, not just financial situations, not just the weather problem. We are being asked to question who we really are. Are we male or female? Are we extreme right or extreme left? Are we for or against in every issue? Sex education for 3-year-olds? Drag queen entertainment for 10-year-olds in church schools? We are tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? 21st century. But again, it was Paul writing. And our way of escape of such confusion, it is to speak the truth in love, and we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, and that is Christ. Finally, let us be warned, us modern Corinthians, us 21st century Christians. We have been given all the encouragement in the world to flee sin. There is no mountain of sin too difficult, no valley too dark that God will not be able to guide us through it. God will help us through our troubles and support us out of them in the face of the temptation of this world. Thanks that God is our way of escape, and he has prepared escape for us. Amen.